Between the years 1909 and 1911, Belfast's Harland and Wolff shipyard completed construction of one of the best-known ships of all time, the RMS Titanic. The Titanic embarked on its maiden voyage on April 10th, just 8 days after it had been christened, and met a tragic end barely 5 days later after colliding with an iceberg. On the 100th anniversary of this event, Belfast is opening a new museum called the Titanic Belfast. And joining us now as part of a week-long series of interviews leading up to the centennial anniversary is Councillor Niall Donnelly, the Lord Mayor of Belfast. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much.
Can you tell us a bit more about the background of the Titanic Belfast project? When did the idea for a commemorative museum arise?
Well, I suppose the idea has been doing the rounds for quite some time. Although, in a broader sense, it's still relatively young.
So are you.
Well, so am I. That's fair to say. But I suppose the idea around Titanic, for a long time, we didn't really speak about Titanic. In many ways, people were either, I suppose, ashamed of the link with the city and didn't really see it as a cause for celebration. Thankfully, that has changed. And not only are we commemorating the Titanic and the human tragedy involved in that particular story, but what we're doing is we're celebrating the maritime history of Belfast. We're celebrating the innovative and creative industries that were there 100 years ago, and just what we in the city were able to achieve at that time. And very confidently, with the projects we're undertaking at the moment, looking confidently to what we can achieve in the here and now as well.
Well, this project cost £100 million.
Yeah,
doesn't that take a huge chunk out of Belfast budget?
Well, it does, and there's a number of partners in terms of financing the signature project, and we firmly believe that it's worth it. We firmly believe that there's a particular story to tell, and what we're trying to do in the broader sense is really professionalize and improve Belfast brand in terms of our tourism brand, and we're succeeding in doing that, and a number of international accolades are testimony to that fact.
Now, I mentioned that you're rather young. You're 28 years old?
26.
Ah, and how old were you when you were elected?
25. Strangely enough, this is the strange fact in relation to this. I'm the youngest ever Lord Mayor of Belfast, and I was 25 when elected. I turned 26 2 days later, and I will still be in office to see in my 27th birthday. So in the space of 1 year, I have aged three. So that says a lot about the job.
But also, it suggests that you really came on after this project was in full swing, or had you played some role in developing it earlier?
Well, I suppose, as being Lord Mayor in what is a very significant year for Belfast, I also live in and represent the neighbouring constituency to just where Titanic Belfast is being built. I often tell the story that my grandmother would tell me when I was young that her mother brought her firstborn son, William, to the top of the street when he was a baby in 1911 and watched the bow of the Titanic growing progressively from just where we lived. I still live in that community today, and much like my great grandmother and my great uncle William would have watched the bow of Titanic grow, I have been able to watch the new Titanic signature project grow up out of the earth as well. So I have had a vested interest in the project for some time.
And it was a very exciting event when the Titanic was launched on May 31st, 1911. An estimated 100,000 people turned out to watch?
Absolutely. Well, if you think of that time, it was probably one of the greatest feats of engineering seen.
Well, how many people lived in Belfast at that time?
Well, probably quite a few 100,000, but to consider that chunk of the population came out to watch this in all its grandeur and everything that it represented in terms of the achievement of the city and the industrial might of Belfast at that time, it's understandable that so many people would want to come out to witness that particular achievement.
And this was considered the high point? The Titanic, considered the greatest ship in the world, the unsinkable ship.
Absolutely.
So how does this museum, the Titanic Belfast, tell the story of the ship? Or does it tell the story of Belfast as a shipbuilding city?
It tells both, really, and even more than that. There are a number of phases to the exhibition, the history of the industry in Belfast, and not only the shipbuilding history, but we are very, very known. Belfast was once known as Linenopolis. It was a huge linen-producing city, major rope works. I mean, 100 years ago, you know, if you were using rope anywhere in the world, the chances are it came from Belfast. So we're acknowledging all of that. We're acknowledging the work of the dockers, the men who worked on the docks at that time, as well as the shipbuilding industry. But it also tells the story of Titanic from creation, I suppose in many ways from conception through to creation, to its setting sail, to ultimately its tragic loss, and then again its discovery in the 1980s.
So it was discovered in 1985, mm-hmm. and some of the wreckage has been pulled up. Are pieces going to be in the museum?
Well, what we're trying to say in relation to this attraction is that it won't be a museum as such. It's going to be an experience. And we're not interested in simply displaying items from the Titanic, as much as there is interest in that. And there is. What we want to do is tell the story. We want people to come, and certainly people will have seen probably the movies telling this story. But what we want to do is tell the story of Titanic from conception through to discovery in the 1980s, and also through that tell our story, tell the story of the experience of the people of Belfast at that time, and what we have come through to reach this real pinnacle of achievement in 2012.
Is that going to be a problem? People have seen a number of movies, but of course one of the most successful movies of all time. They think they know the story of Titanic. Mm. Are you going to have to correct some of the myths that have been created?
Well, to be fair, I think in terms of story, many of the movies and the depictions stayed true. So, yeah, people might have certain misconceptions. People are always surprised to discover that the Titanic was built in Belfast. You know, not everyone...
I didn't know.
Not everyone knows that aspect of our history, and are maybe more focused on our more recent history and wouldn't be conscious of that. So that's why in many ways, we're thankful to the movies. You know, they have created a huge interest around the world in this particular story. And what we want to do is, where else in the world can you go? And many people try to lay claim to the Titanic story, but you aren't going to go anywhere in the world and see the dry dock and the slipway where the ship was built and where she set sail from.
And what is this museum going to look like? It's as much architecture and then an interactive digital experience as it is. Well, you say it's not a museum, but it's something.
It's an experience.
Is that what you're calling it?
Oh, very much so. And I say I have had the real privilege of watching it grow up out of the earth from my home. You know, it's just a Belfast citizen, and it's been fantastic. It's already being compared to the Guggenheim in Bilbao in terms of the iconic status that it's going to bring to the city.
It looks like a ship.
It looks like a ship. Actually, it looks like four ships. If people, I know most of your listeners will be so anxious to come and see it in real life, but until then, they should really Google it. They should really look for it, because what it does is it's almost like four corners and four bows of a ship. And the ship, the scale and the diameter of the building is equal to that of the actual Titanic. So if you're standing underneath this building, you will have got a very direct feel of just the scale, size and might of the ships that were being produced in Belfast at that time. And not only that, if you're looking at it from an aerial perspective, it creates the shape of a star. Obviously, the White Star Line were the company that owned Titanic. So there's huge symbolism involved, and it's becoming hugely iconic as part of the festival, the Titanic Festival. We're going to have a world-class lighting show, 3D lighting display around the building, which people are really, really looking forward to. MTV are coming back to stage a major concert on the slipway in and around the building as well. So that whole quarter is flourishing. We have the relocation of the new Belfast Metropolitan College campus on site, the public records office. So if there are people coming to Ireland more generally who are interested in the history of Titanic, but maybe also interested in the history of their own family and their own family heritage, the public records office is on site, the Odyssey Arena concert and entertainment venue as well. So there's so much happening in Belfast in 2012.
My guest is Councillor Niall O'Donoghue. He is Lord Mayor of Belfast. And we're talking about the this building, I don't know what else to call it, Titanic Belfast. Is it up already?
It's almost completed. We're just putting the finishing touches now as we speak. We are opening the Titanic Belfast attraction on the 31st of March.
On the day that the ship was actually put into the water.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, on the day that the ship set sail. It had been in the water for some time in terms of the completion of the fittings and fixtures on board. But it's going to be a massive international event, and we're hoping to have some friends from New York over joining us for the event.
At the end of the museum's galleries, visitors pass through the original Harland and Wolff shipyard gates. Mm-hmm. Now, how important was that company to the early history of Belfast?
Well, there's no doubt that it was hugely significant. I mean, this is a company that produced ships like Titanic. And just take a moment to think about that in the early 1900s. Engineering feats of such scale and also luxury in many ways. And it produced Titanic, its sister ships, Olympic and others. And not only that, like I said, you have a huge history of the linen industry. The rope works,
so
the docks.
So the city was going through a boom time.
It was a huge boom for the city. And as I say, what we're trying to do, unfortunately given, and this won't be alien to people here in the US, but given the world economic situation, you know, we accept that our traditional heavy industries are by and large gone. And what we're trying to do is create new industries. That's the tourism industry. Just down the road from the Titanic visitor attraction, the former paint hall at Harland and Wolff, which was a huge, big facility used to actually build or paint the ships that the shipyard was producing, we film HBO's Game of Thrones. Not a lot of people know Game of Thrones is filmed in Belfast.
Did not much. Know.
So there you go. You're learning quite a bit today. You'll be wanting to come to Belfast soon yourself. So all of that's there. All of that's within walking distance. Our City Hall, where I have an office as Lord Mayor, is often referred to as the Brick Titanic because of the connections. I have a parlour there in City Hall, and the craftsmen who carried out the work in the Lord Mayor's parlour, the Lord Mayor's chamber, went on. City Hall was completed in 1906, then went on to work on the first class cabins in Titanic. So I'm one of the very few people in the world who gets to spend a bit of time in first class Titanic luxury.
Well, it's good that they didn't give you steerage. Did the shipyard suffer when the Titanic sank so quickly after her departure?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, the industry continued and you know, it fell victim to many cities in and around Ireland and around across Britain and in Europe. But I think probably much like yourself, a lot of people, I hope the term ignorant isn't too long or isn't too harsh, but they were ignorant to the fact that Belfast produced Titanic, and it was Belfast craftsmen that produced that. And as we say in Belfast, the Titanic was all right when it left us.
So she was fine when she left. Oh,
absolutely.
It was just later that
we tend back home to blame the fact that the captain was an Englishman.
Now you're talking about hoping that this also will revive tourism in Belfast, and that has to be a real concern because Belfast is associated in most people's minds these days with a lot of problems. Religious conflict, the fights between the nationalists and the loyalists, and a whole bunch of other things, and it's one of those places that seems to be a bit scary to visit. Have things calmed down a bit?
Absolutely. We're I suppose almost 20 years now after the first ceasefires were announced back home, we have a very, very stable, very, very effective devolved regional government.
But there's still those marches every year that seem to cause trouble.
There are, but there is quite a huge, and I live in and represent a constituency that is affected by those marches. And actually, with a lot of assistance from friends in the US, we have been able to improve dialogue and improve community relations to the extent where there is a very minimal amount of disruption in and around those one or two parades each year. So, you know, Belfast is going through a tourism renaissance. It's going through a cultural renaissance. You only have to look. Last year, we were the host city for the MTV European Music Awards, a global audience of 600 million people watching that event, watching Belfast for all the right reasons. And, you know, some of the biggest stars in the world descending on the city for a number of days. And not only did we have the practical, physical infrastructure to host such an event, but clearly, with the onset of the peace process and the cementing of peace back home in the north of Ireland, organisations like MTV are very, very prepared and happy. And you know how protective organisations like that can be of their brand. Mm-hmm. They're coming back to join us in a few short weeks. So that in itself is telling that Belfast as a city is a place to be. It's culturally vibrant, it's musically vibrant, socially vibrant. And I have just come from several engagements, both this morning in New York and over the last 2 days in DC, where we're all of the time and attracting more foreign direct investment into the city. As I say, New York Stock Exchange have offices, Citibank have offices. We have been speaking to some business people today who are very, very excited about Belfast. HBO and Universal are making movies in Belfast all of the time. Game of Thrones is there. So, you know, certainly we have embedded a peace process, and we're very, very proud of that. That's our biggest achievement. And what we want to do now is reap the rewards of that peace.
Obviously, you are a very good spokesperson for your city. Maybe that's why they elected you. Do we have any estimates of how many people are going to come to see Titanic Belfast?
Well, there are estimations at this stage, and you know, some people are saying that our estimations are quite ambitious. I'm confident, given the nature of the Titanic story and given the interest in it, that people will want to come and see it. But what we want to do also is ensure that when they do come to see Titanic, they go out beyond that. They get a real flavour for Belfast. We are continually now at the moment, including here in New York, a number of credible publications, one in particular, and I'm at a loss to remember the name, believe it or not, but it actually said that the Titanic visitor attraction in Belfast was the number one tourist, the most exciting tourist destination to visit in 2012 in the world. So that's quite an accolade for us.
Are the opening festivities open to everyone?
Absolutely, yeah, and we hope to include everyone. Like I say, MTV will be hosting a concert. We have the Titanic Festival. We have a number, obviously, I think rightly so, commemorative events. There is a large memorial garden being opened at Belfast City Hall in the grounds of the City Hall, and we will be acknowledging that aspect of things as well. But I mean, that's not just the only thing that will be happening in and around Belfast and the north of Ireland more generally in 2012. You probably know we play a bit of golf back home, and we're reasonably good at it. We're holding the Irish Open back home later this year as well, and that's just one in a long line of events. Last year, New York City hosted the World Police and Fire Games. Belfast has it in 2013. So now, if people are thinking about coming to see Belfast and to see Ireland more generally, 2012 really is the time to do it.
Are you still building ships?
Not as much. What we're doing now is trying to go into to new industries, into the ICT industries, into R&D. We're doing that quite successfully. We're all of the time developing our software product and creative industries through movies and TV series and software development. So we're doing that, and actually in many ways we're leading that.
I've been talking with the Lord Mayor of Belfast, Councillor Niall Donnellia, about the opening of a new museum or a new facility that celebrates the Titanic.
You don't seem convinced.
No, I am. I think it's fascinating. I still wonder why this thing has grabbed the public's imagination so powerfully.
I've philosophized on that myself, to be honest, because, you know, some people will say, you know, it sank.
It sank. It was a tragic event.
And it was a tragic human loss for many people. And a lot of families are still affected by it today on both sides of the pond, I have to say, and further afield. But this is a story that really intrigues people. This is a feat of human engineering that really impresses people. And they want to know more about the people who produced it and also the people that were on board.
And if my bosses allow me to leave, I'll come and join you in the festivities. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. You're very welcome.